minister.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good morning to you, Brevard County. It is Tuesday, and we live in Florida. It is a good day to praise the Lord, and I hope that you are doing just that. And if yesterday didn't go like you wanted it to, hit the reset button and say, you know what? With God's help, we're going to do better today. And so we want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God and spending the next half hour with you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM, wherever you may be listening to us. You might even be listening to us on the phone or on demand, however you choose to be listening. We are just so grateful that you have made the Word of God a priority in your life. So today we are going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We were there yesterday. But today we are going to be a little bit further down in the chapter. And in verse number 11, this is another one of those, this is a faithful saying. That was a clause that I saw a number of times in my research. And so thank God that his word is faithful. If the word of God was not faithful, how do you decide which words are true and which words aren't? How do you decide which truth is? Is it just popular opinion? Well, why is your opinion more important than anybody else's opinion? And so I'm thankful for the Word of God. We are of the position that it is the inerrant Word of God, that it is faultless. And I'm not faultless. I make mistakes all the time. And so it's not that I enjoy making mistakes, but I try to make as few of them as possible. But if there's any way I can learn to avoid a mistake, I want to do that. And so I'm very thankful for the Word of God. And if you have a very high mindset towards the Word of God, it's going to manifest in the life that you lead. And if you have a lower understanding of the Word of God, if you lower the threshold, if you lower the quality of the teaching, then you're really not going to pay too much attention to the Word of God, and you will notice a distinct difference in the life that you lead. I am of the mindset that God is smarter than I am. And so if I trust his word, I'm going to trust it over my word. Even when I'm firmly entrenched in my word, I'm going to yield to his expertise. Wouldn't it be rather unwise to surround yourself with people who were smarter than you and then not pay attention to what they tell you? And so I want to surround myself with the word of God and be of the mindset, God, you're smarter than I am. You're wiser than I am. You have more experience than I've got. Why would I not listen to you? Don't be like Rehoboam, Solomon's son, who when he came to the throne, he listened to the advice of the elders. Then he listened to the advice of his royal... How about I just be real with you? He listened to the advice of his royal brat child, inexperienced peers who lived in the lap of luxury, and guess who he paid attention to? The spoiled brat child, inexperienced young people, and as a result of that, the kingdom was snatched from his hand. All but two tribes, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. So, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety, there's wisdom. And so, said all that to say, you know what, the Word of God, it deserves to be exalted. There's scripture that says that he's exalted his word and his name above all else. And so I encourage you to exalt his word in your life. Let's look at verse number 11. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful. He cannot deny himself. So there are two things about this that we see faithful in. First of all, it is a faithful declaration. And second, it is because we have a faithful God. It says, this is a faithful saying. So let's begin where we should begin, and that is at the beginning. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Jesus said that we are supposed to take up our cross daily and follow him. That means my agenda gives way to his agenda, that my flesh gives way to his spirit leading inside of us, that my desires are subject to his desires, that what I want more than anything else is to please him. And so there is a crucifying of the flesh. It's not a literal crucifixion the way that Jesus was, but it is a nonetheless, it's a taking up our cross daily and saying, you know what? The power of God is going to reside in me, not the power of the flesh. And so when a person is baptized, we are a fellowship that believes in baptism by immersion, because the scripture identifies baptism as being symbolic of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we say, look, if you've given your life to Jesus, we want to invite you to come and or if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, we want to invite you to invite your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, everybody, so that they can come and witness your baptism where you are declaring, look, it is no longer I that lives, it is Christ that lives in me. I've identified with him in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and I'm going to do my best to live for him. Now, you know, once you make that declaration, please understand that that declaration is going to be tried. It's going to be challenged. But it is also, when you make a public declaration like that, what you are doing is you are putting yourself out there, and now all of a sudden, you realize you're not hiding in the shadows. You have made a declaration, and you are going to do your best to live up to that reputation or to that expectation that you have created. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. There are too many people who want to pray the prayer, but they don't want to die the death. And if you're not willing to lay down the things of this world, the things of this life, in order to embrace the things of eternal life, then you are going to deprive yourself of the quality and the abundant life that Jesus wants to provide for you. Okay? If we died with him, past tense, we shall also live with him. And that's a very present reality. So I want to ask you right now, are you living a lifestyle that gives testimony to the fact that you are living with Jesus Christ? Is there enough evidence there to convict you of that? If not, you need to go back and say, God, is there anything in my life that needs to die so that I can live this supernatural life? One of the things that died for me last year was professional football. Didn't watch it. You know, used to watch it every Sunday afternoon, watch the playoffs, watch the Super Bowl. In fact, last year we had a chicken wing contest at church the night of the championship game. And this year we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And so that was something I gave up. It not something that's earth shattering. For you, it might be something else. It might be a habit. It might be words that you're very comfortable saying, but maybe God's not so comfortable with that. I have a friend of mine. He was studying to go into the ministry, and he'd gotten saved. He's a pastor now. He's a wonderful man of God. Impacts a lot of men. But as he was preparing for the ministry, God began to touch some things in his life and said, you know what? You don't need this in your life anymore. You don't need this in your life anymore. You don't need this in your life anymore. And it wasn't because anybody else was telling him to do that. It was because God was saying, you know what? If you want to live for me the way I want to live, or you to live for me, then there are some things that you need to get out of your life. I want to tell you that you will never regret anything that you lay down on the altar and give it to God. You will take up something that is infinitely more precious. Second, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. Yesterday, we ended the program talking about endurance. Don't give up. Don't give up. The way that you develop more endurance is you continue to go farther and farther than you've ever gone before. And that means that you're not looking at it for a convenience sake. You are saying, no matter how difficult it gets, I am not giving up. The scripture says that there are things that call for the patient endurance of the saints. That means that there's long suffering that's available there, but there's also a relentless attitude that says, I'm not going to quit. If we endure with him, we shall also reign with him. There's a lot of people that want to reign. R-E-I-G-N, reign. R-E-I-G-N, reign. That means to rule, to sit on the throne. There are a lot of people who want to exercise authority, but not that many people who are willing to endure the hardship to spend the 3.5 years that the disciples spent walking with Jesus. There's not very many people that wanted to hang out with him from the very beginning till the very end. There were not very many people who are willing to go through some of the most traumatic storms of their life. A lot of people want to govern, but not very many people want the challenge that requires endurance, where you tap into God and say, God, this storm is bigger than I am, but it's not bigger than you. So I encourage you to develop in 2018 your level of endurance. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we deny him, he also will deny us. What is taking place in verses 11, 12, and 13 is Paul is telling Timothy that action A has bearings on the reaction of B. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Three, if we deny him, he also will deny us. That's a reality that not many people really want to face with all sorts of sobriety. Not too many people want to weigh in their spirit, what's the big deal if I deny him? Well, the big deal is, the measure that you use is the measure that will be used on your behalf. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. And so you and I, we can't afford to deny him. That opportunity to deny him may be the only opportunity that persecutor is ever going to have to see a true believer. When I was in Bible college, I remember hearing of some believers who were gathered together for worship in a country that was extremely hostile towards Christians. And by extremely hostile, I mean this. If you were found to be a Christian, they would kill you. And so these soldiers with guns drawn invaded a church service. And as they invaded the church service, they had their guns and all of that drawn, and they gave everybody an opportunity to deny. And if they denied, then they were free to go. And so there were a number of Christians who did deny, and they ended up leaving. And as a result of that, once they were all gone, the soldier said, "Okay, so now we are assuming that all of you all are genuine Christians. That's good. Let's worship the Lord." You say, "Well, that's not right." Well, you see, in their position, they couldn't afford half-baked Christianity. They couldn't afford compromising Christianity. They needed someone who was rock solid in the faith. There's a number of other stories of people who have faced hardship, and all they had to do was deny Jesus, and all of that pain and suffering would end, and some would endure, and some would say, "Okay, I will deny him," and others would say, "You know what? If they denied him, I guess I need to pick up that battle sword, and I'm going to say, you know what? I will not deny him." Now, I want to address something, because I want to prepare people for whatever might come. Persecution against Christians is not dying down. It's ramping up. On a global scale, there are more people being martyred for Jesus on a global basis now than in the entire history of humanity. So I want to just make this question first, and that is, do you believe that it is easier to serve Jesus now, or do you think it will be easier to serve Jesus when there is unrestrained persecution should it break out against Christianity, against Christians? And the answer is, it will be easier now. And so I know a number of people are of the mindset that if I deny him right now, I will have an opportunity later to make good on that confession, and I just won't give up then. And I want to tell you, that's a deception. That's a self-deception. And that's the most dangerous type of deception that there is when you are deceiving yourself. And so if you are not faithful to profess him and confess him now, how do you suppose that you will ever be faithful in confessing him when your life is on the line? Now, I don't know about you, but when I read the book of Job, I don't focus on the things that everybody else focuses on. Everybody wants to focus on the suffering of Job. I don't care to focus on that at all. And what I want to focus on is God, where God tells Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, who is righteous in all his ways? I just want to spend a little bit of time bragging on Job here in the presence of all these angels. If God's just bragging on him." And Satan says, "It's because you cheat. You built a hedge of protection around him." And God said, "No, you don't know Job the way I know Job. It's not because of the hedge of protection." He says, "Well, it's because you haven't let me touch his flesh." And said, "Nope, you don't know Job the way I know Job. Job's not like that at all." I don't know about you, but I would like to live a life that God brags about for all of eternity. Do you? Anybody can live a compromised life. It takes no skill whatsoever to be a sinner. It doesn't. You know, you could make a decision today that you are going to be a lying, thieving, stealing, immoral person. And there's, I mean, you could become that this afternoon. You could set that as your goal this morning. And by 12 noon, you could have already done that. You know what takes real, takes the power of God? Living a holy life in an unholy world. And so I encourage you, whatever you do, don't live a life denying him. Live a life confessing him. And that will be amazingly wonderful for you. Verse number 13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so all of a sudden, this A-B pattern that we have seen where action A leads to reaction B, we see that three times. If we die with him, we will live with him. If we endure, we will reign. If we deny, he also will deny. And all of a sudden, we come to the conclusion of this little four-part statement, and he says, if we are faithless. Now, the Bible tells us that God has given to every person the measure of faith. So what we know is it is not for a lack of supply. This is a lack of implementation. This is a deliberate lifestyle choice where we choose to live by the things that we see instead of by the faith that God has given to us. We live by what feels good or what satisfy the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the boastful pride of life. If we choose to live life without faith, it doesn't impact the reality of God at all. Many people would say, well, I don't believe in hell. And the implication is, because I don't believe in hell, hell doesn't exist. Did you know that there are people who have a whole lot of views, and those views are erroneous, and their erroneous views do not change the reality one little bit? I've told you the story before that when I was in high school, I went to my teacher and I said, I found a problem, an answer in the back of the book that's wrong. And she said, show me your work. And she looked at it. And I mean, she didn't look at it for any length of time at all. And she handed it back to me. And she said, 9 times 7 is 63, not 56. And I had reviewed it. I had a number of friends review it before I ever went up to her. And I just knew she was going to call the publisher and say, you know what, we got a problem in the back of the book. But no, that wasn't it at all. It was my understanding was wrong. And you say, well, you just can't do math. Well, I just want you to understand that just because you have a belief about something, even if you are sincere in that belief, if that belief is wrong, it does not change the reality. And the reality is my faithlessness will impact me, but it will have no bearing on altering the faithfulness of God. Because God will not deny who he is. Not for me, not for you, not for the entire world. God is God all by himself. He's never changing. He never lies. He's always faithful. He remains faithful. Even today, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. If you want a study to go into, I encourage you to get a study on the identity of God, the declarations of God. Who is God? What are the attributes? And you will find things like Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, God our provider, God our righteousness. You will find about Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. And just a number of these. Henry Blackaby has a study, and I believe it's called Knowing God. I don't have that workbook with me right now, but I believe that's the name of it. And at the back is all of these names. And if you get to know who God is, then whenever you are facing adversity And the devil comes whispering in your ear like he did Eve's ear and said, well, God really didn't mean what he said. Well, you don't know God the way that I know God, because my God never lies. Well, God's holding out of you. Oh, no, you don't know the God that I know, because God, the God that I serve is not Jehovah Stingy. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Well, God just doesn't care about you. Oh, you don't know God the way that I know God, because he is the Lord, my shepherd, and shepherds lead their sheep. He goes, he's with me everywhere I go. Well, you know, he's not going to come through this time. Oh, you don't understand the faithfulness of my God. And so today, no matter what you are going through, can we lift our eyes beyond our circumstances and start declaring the faithfulness of God? You say, well, you are just brainwashed. You know what? I am. My brain's been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in a literal sense, but in the figurative sense. My mind has been renewed to where I am not in this for carnal reasons. I want to do my life with the same quality of love and characteristics that Jesus has. I want to think of my God the way that Jesus thought of his heavenly Father. You see, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and God's not holding out. He is saying, you know what, if you will walk in obedience, test me in this, see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you don't have room enough to contain, and I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. You see, I'm much more concerned about what God can say on my behalf than I am about what the devil has to say. You see, I believe that when the devil came and tempted Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, just without sin. That when the devil presented that, Jesus, fully aware of everything that God had provided, the power that he had, the nature of his being and the goodness of God, and had seen his glory, Satan comes and says, I'll give you this, and that's nothing compared to what God will give me. What if our attitude towards temptation was a realization that it was the devil trying to steal a blessing? I want to ask you, does a thief ever give you something of greater value so he can steal something of lesser value? And you, if you are honest, you will say, there ain't no thief that'll ever do that. There's a thief that'll give you something that's crummy so that he can take something that is precious, but he never does the other thing. God is the lover of your souls. He is faithful today. You can cry out to him, and he will pay attention to your voice, because he loves you, and he is never going to leave you and never forsake you, even unto the end of the age. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.